acronym has scrubbed its website of mentions of launching Shadow and says it's just one of multiple investors along for the ride. Acronym's decision to distance itself from Shadow, or perhaps lying about it altogether, she writes, is making the situation worse, not better. So this is extremely, extremely shady, and there is every reason to say that this result that left people standing agog, that left national commentators standing with their mouths open with zeros on the board, was intentional. I've run out of time, my goodness. So you've got to stay tuned, because Pear Foggering is coming up here on KBOO Portland. And if you enjoyed doing this, please contribute to KBOO Radio. We've got Pledge Drive coming up next week. And please go to the podcast either on kboo.fm, or go to you can go to Apple Podcasts, you can go to Switcher, and please rate and review Press Watch on those if you listen to the podcast on the app in that way, because that way other people can find it. Right now, this podcast is pretty much invisible, so help me out there, won't you? You've been listening to KBOO.FM. In that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Pear Foggering, and I think we'll just continue with the big story is the impeachment and the primary debacle in Iowa. And if people want to call in with their opinions on this, what do you think of this this whole process? Number to call is 503-231-8187. So anyway, Donald Trump was acquitted, and we might ask, what next? The show is going on. I've heard talk that the investigations may still continue. The Democrats, I think, will call John Bolton to testify, and we know what he will say, that Donald Trump did indeed make this an offer that Ukraine couldn't refuse or whatever. And the Republicans might try and call Hunter Biden, because in all the uproar over this Ukraine scandal, not a lot of people are not asking what was Hunter Biden doing, getting $50,000 a month to be on the board of this Ukrainian gas company. I keep hearing that that rumors or whatever have been debunked. I'm not sure what has been debunked. It seems to me it should be investigated by somebody, not to Donald Trump's benefit, but just to find out what the truth is. A lot of people are saying that after the failure of the impeachment move that Donald Trump is in stronger position than ever. Apparently his favorable ratings have gone up a bit. They've never been that good. I think they've gone up to 49% or something like that. But, you know, that this might be, what do you think out there in radio? Do you think, that did the Democrats blow it or what? It's, I don't know. The it always seems strange to me. Well, not so strange, but I thought that the in the impeachment charge, they picked the wrong charge. Donald Trump has done so many things worthy of impeachment that the one they picked was, I suppose, relatively minor, not as bad as some of the others. To me, the worst thing he did was he dumped the nuclear treaty with Iran. Now, this is something that it took a long time to reach this agreement where Iran would limit its nuclear program. And this apparently, well, it's not apparent, it's pretty obvious that Trump did this for one reason only, that he has this personal grudge against Barack Obama. And he sort of wants to undo everything that Obama has done. And because of that, because of his personal animosity, because of his own personal spite, Donald Trump has wrecked a nuclear agreement that is helping keep peace in the world. And it's like people realize this, they remark on it, but there doesn't seem to be any huge uproar the way there was over the this Ukrainian business. I find that kind of interesting. But other things that you could impeach Donald Trump for would be the emoluments thing, getting rich over his office. But for some reason, the Democrats, they picked this charge that related to military aid to Ukraine. And people don't really ask, why are we sending military aid to Ukraine in the first place? Well, it's basically it's because people in Washington are poking, and they're kind of poking the bear. They're trying to bring down the Russian government without actually going to war, and they seem to think they can do it. They just kind of think if they find the right combination that they can somehow push Putin into stepping down and reinstalling the kind of government Russia had under Boris Yeltsin, which was maybe great for Western investors, but it was a disaster for the Russian people. And so that is what seems to be the strategy. We have a caller. John is on the line. Morning, John.
Good morning. You know, I find it appalling that Trump could ever make it to the White House to begin with mm-hmm. all he had against him. The lie against Barack Obama about where he was born should have excluded him alone, let alone all of his other. You know, I'm against Trump, but I'm really appalled at the American people that they would even. I know it was a stolen election, but still, that many people went ahead and, you know, and I have to blame the Christians mostly because, you know, they fell for this wacko just because he was willing to change his longstanding attitudes about abortion, and I don't know what his longstanding attitude about guns, but he suddenly became a gun fanatic too. So, I mean, How can they be so easily swayed by a con man?
Well, I don't know. I've heard all kinds of theories, you know. I mean, it's been blamed on racism. It's also been blamed on a lot of people in the what they call the flyover country, where people who were the economic pinch is really hurting people there. And the explanation is that people are so fed up with the establishment candidates and leaders that they just willing to vote for an idiot like Trump just to show people that they're around, you know?
I heard somewhere that the guy, Mark Burnett, I think is his last name, the producer of The Apprentice, approached Donald with the idea, and Donald said, I don't want nothing to do with reality shows. And the guy said, well, this can be your stepping stone to the White House. He knew he was interested in that. So he had to be talked into actually doing The Apprentice show and dealing with lowlifes who would watch that kind of show.
Really, you think, I don't know, do you think that Trump had his eye on the White House all along?
Oh, he's talked about it since the 80s, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard another theory that Trump was kind of running for president, not even dreaming he'd win, just as a kind of a way to boost his TV show or something like that.
Yeah, he really never expected to get in there and boost his money-making machine. So, we live in a crazy world, and I guess it's crazy because too few of us are really involved.
Okay, well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
I think we're stuck with Trump for another year, and who knows? A lot of people think that he may actually get reelected, which is just amazing to me. I mean, and the Democrats, what are they doing? They seem to be going out of their way to mess around with Bernie Sanders once again. If they do that again, if they kind of deny Bernie Sanders his rightful place, that to me, that's as good as throwing the election. You know, the theory, you know, they keep saying, well, the only one who can beat Trump is some sort of a so-called moderate or centrist Democrat, and like Joe Biden. But Joe Biden did terribly in Iowa, and his campaign seems to be on its last legs. Well, who should step in but Michael Bloomberg, who bought his way into the whole thing. He bought his way into a spot on the next Democratic candidate's debate. John Kerry has been making noises about running again. I think he said something about he's got to do this to kind of, basically to stop Bernie Sanders, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. I mean, years ago, John Kerry, coming back from Vietnam, he was considered anti-war and a kind of a, insurgent candidate, but certainly not anymore. So the Democrats are casting around for somebody who can beat Bernie Sanders. And Pete Buttigieg, who's apparently is... he did not do as well in Iowa as the mainstream press is saying, and Democrats seem to be willing to do anything to stop Bernie Sanders. It's possible. I mean, my theory is, well, tell me what you think about this. I think in some way the Democratic establishment would almost rather have Trump get reelected than have Bernie Sanders in the White House. That is, I say about 75% confident of that assertion. The Democrats, during Trump's State of the Union speech, of course, the Democrats made a big show of opposing, Nancy Pelosi very ostentatiously ripped up her copy of his speech, at the same time, during that speech, the Democrats all joined this standing ovation for Juan Guaido, presidential usurper, would-be usurper in Venezuela, who was there as a special guest. So the Democrats are all for ousting President Nicolas Maduro and installing Juan Guaido. And then you talk about during the impeachment hearing, Adam Schiff, this was his, he was a, sort of the person in charge of all this, I guess, to go after Donald Trump. And he made some, to me, some untruthful statements. We have a caller. Jim is on the air. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Pat. You know, I'm not sure I know for sure whether Bernie Sanders is electable or not on a nationwide scale. It's hard to know. You know, the experts can't even agree. But what I do know is that it is time to rally. And the most critical thing is that we defeat Trump in 2020. He's going to use the power of the presidency. He already used it in his State of the Union address to, it was basically a partisan pep rally, almost like in a campaign stop. He's going to continue to do stuff like that. He's going to use some of the power of the government. He's going to be difficult to beat. So everybody who's listening and feels like Trump is a danger needs to step up, write letters. You know, we're in a state that's fairly safe, but we need to maybe volunteer to do some things in some swing states. So I think it's very critical. Another 4 years of this guy and the power would be consolidated even more. They're talking about a Trump dynasty, and I never thought I would think like this in America.
So, oh, boy.
It's just crazy times.
Oh, well,
thank you for listening to me.
Okay, well, thank you. I think we have Bruce on the line. Morning, Bruce.
Hi. I hope everybody noticed the way that Nancy Pelosi jumped to her feet to support Juan Guaido. I mean, she bolted out of that chair to stand up and say yes to getting rid of this all of a sudden dictator. And this yet again, a dictator has been found. So convenient. And the Democrats, the anti-socialism meme is just getting going, and they'll be the ones to push it. And just what a shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think they'd rather have Trump win, or you think they'd you think they actually prefer Trump over Bernie Sanders?
Well, I think that they might even just say, look, this we can 4 more years, and he can't run again, so. Bernie'd be a catastrophe, so how bad can Trump be in a second term? I can believe that. On a socialism note, can I just say that I'm going to have a presentation at 11 o'clock at Central Library this Monday, the 10th, and based on Michael Monk's book, The Portland Red Guide, about the mysteries of actually, in this case, classical music and in Portland and the hidden histories, Paul Robeson coming to town, and you couldn't put up a poster because, oh, we don't want the grief. You can't put up a poster for Paul Robeson. You know, by 58, they took away his passport. And so music has always had, with Woody Guthrie, and it's always had a resistance role to play. And Paul Robeson, there are a lot of hidden stories that I'll be talking about.
That sounds interesting. So tell us again where it's going to be.
Central Library on February 10th, 11 a.m. in the bank room, which is that community room right when you come in. And it'll be an hour presentation called Portland Classical Music Confidential. It's just about how it's about the war and when they had the little Kremlin, they called it. It was a conservatory up here on the street I live on, King. And then after the war, after we worked with Stalin to defeat Hitler, then they started raiding him. And the Cold War was born, and they went up there and arrested a guy as being a spy. Michael Monk goes into it in his book, and it's our hidden dirty history of switching sides and just pivoting away from supporting the fight against Hitler at Stalingrad, and all of a sudden, by 46, there's a whole new enemy.
I remember that. It happened very suddenly. All of a sudden, the Russians are the bad guys, you know? And I said, I was just a kid then, but I sort of wondered, gee, what's going on here? Something funny about this.
Well, can it be weaponized at any time? They can. You saw it as a kid. I saw it in the late 50s, early 60s as a kid. And now it's weaponized again. Mm-hmm. They can weaponize it at any time. They can trot it out. And Bernie may be the victim of it this time, but we all know he's not a socialist. He's just got a pretty good idea of some of the problems where, I mean, he's a socialist the way that FDR was a socialist.
Mm-hmm. Right. You
know? Anyway, thanks so much. Great great show.
Well, thanks for that
thanks
call.
Thanks for letting me get my blurb in there. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I think that sounds like an interesting presentation. Let me put in a plug for Michael Monk's book, The Red Guide to Portland. Okay, we have Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve. Hi, you there?
Yes. I just wanted to say that who stole the Iowa election? Was it the Russians? I'm waiting for the Democrats to blame the Russians. They seem like they're... it was the Democratic, software from the establishment of Hillary Clinton, who has poked her head up again, and now she's not only a warmonger from her previous life as Obama's Secretary of State and what they did to Libya and Honduras, and basically she called Kelsey Gabbard, who I don't know anything about, a Russian tool or being groomed by the Russians, and and it seems like, the Democrats, they, brought up this whole Ukraine thing, and basically it backfired on them because Trump came back with Biden's son, and basically the Democrats are just as corrupt as the, Republicans, and they're calling the kettle black, and it kind of blew up in their face, and there you have it.
Well, actually, I think somebody has... sort of a voice suspicion that somehow Putin is to blame for what happened in Iowa. It hasn't
been, it's
been very muted, but I heard that somebody said something like that. But thank you for your call.
Thanks.
Okay, Tam is on the line. Good morning, Tam.
Good morning, Pierre. Great show.
Thank you.
I was just thinking when never mind, we won't get... Oh, shoot. Never mind anyone being able to get a fair shake in any court where Trump has appointed a judge. And I understand he's appointed quite a few.
That's right. He has. That's a scary thought, Even after Trump is gone, his his evil will linger on.
Right. Well, it's beginning to look to me like we need something more than an election to put this country aright. I don't know what it is, because I'm going to be out of here pretty soon. Thank you very much, Paris. Good show.
Thank you. We have another caller on the line. Mark is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me okay.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the Democrats would not rather have Trump than have Bernie win. Let's not go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute only important thing is to beat Trump. I think there's an honest disagreement between the very strong left progressive wing of the party, which I agree with, associated with Bernie, versus those who really believe that the word socialism and some of Bernie's positions will scare off the critical, low-information Midwest voters. We need both. We need committed progressives, and we need the low-information Midwest independents who could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
We need all of that to win. So, hopefully, I don't believe personally that the Democrats are trying to sabotage Bernie, in any underhanded way, but I know that the centrist part of it is afraid that Bernie will not win the election. So it's a legitimate argument for us to have, but please, let's not go down the road of all this paranoia about how the Democrats are trying to get rid of Bernie and they'd rather have Trump. That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know how ridiculous... It may not be correct, but I wouldn't say it's ridiculous on the face of it. It's conceivable.
It's not ridiculous that the Democrats would rather have Trump than Bernie.
We're talking about some Democrats.
That is utterly ridiculous. It's Russian trolls and internet bots, and Republican trolls and internet bots are going to be heavily pushing the meme that the Democrats hate Bernie, and if you're for Bernie, you shouldn't vote for anybody else. And they're trying to divide and conquer. Don't fall for that, please.
Well, I'm keeping my mind open to all these possibilities. I think we maybe find out more as this campaign goes on. But thank you for your input. Let me just say one thing, though. You know, I've noticed that there's this kind of, I don't know what you call it, a way of looking at comments, a way of evaluating people's opinions and people's information, that that it's looked at as who it will help, who it will hurt. And what's ignored is whether a statement may be true or not. I believe, you know, in evaluating things on their internal consistency and whether they conform with reality, who it helps is something else. But I'm not going to, I'm not going to change my opinion just because it might conceivably help somebody I don't like. And
that's actually a very good point, and I totally accept and agree with that point. Let me say one other thing, if I can,
mm-hmm.
related to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Republicans run elections, when they run campaigns, they lie totally about what they really are going to do. The Republicans don't run on a platform saying we're gonna screw the middle and working classes and suck up every bit of money and give it to the top 1%, and we're going to take away your civil liberties. They say a bunch of lies, whatever they need to say to get elected. Once they're in power, then they do what they really want to do. The Democrats keep making the mistake. See, I worry. Mm-hmm. You know, I totally mm-hmm. agree with Bernie, and I'm a socialist myself. But if the country as a whole and the low information Midwest voters are not ready for socialism, we should be pitching whatever middle of the road stuff we need to say to get elected. And if we need a middle of the road candidate in order to win, once we're in power, then we start doing what we actually mean to do. Mm-hmm. And let the two wings fight it out once we're in power. But we have to get into power first. Okay?
Okay. Well, that's a coherent position. It's not, it's not wrong on the face of it. It's the kind of thing we will kind of keep in mind and see how see whether it's confirmed as the campaign goes on. But I think,
okay.
And so there we are. It's getting near the end of the show. One caller left a comment saying that follow the money. Well, that's always a good idea. Follow the money, but wish we had more of it here. But anyway, this it's getting near the end of the show. I will just say that one thing that I keep bringing up, that as far as the Democrats go, besides their standing ovation for Juan Guaido, a few weeks ago, a military budget was passed. I think it was something like $738 billion, and that doesn't include all the extras, but this was passed overwhelmingly by Congress, but most of the Democrats voted for this military budget. Very happy to say that our two senators, Wyden and Merkley, voted against it, and I'm sure that Blumenau voted against it. I think the only Democratic congressman who voted for it was, can't think of his name right now, the fellow down in Clackamas County. But anyway, but the most of the Democratic establishment, they voted for this horrendous military budget. So follow the money, folks. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. Coming up next on Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, Trump has been acquitted and is set to run again. What does this mean for the Middle East policies? At 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman interviews Carmen Marie Machado, author of Dream House. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk with hosts Emma Jackson Ford, Obie Hill, and Patricia Welch.
Saturday, February 15th, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., it's the semi-annual KBOO Bluegrass Marathon.
Featuring 14 great local bands.
The Mavens.
Mountain Honey.
Sunfish Duo.
Annie Stanonets and John Cale.
Sunny South.
Martin Family Band.
Julie and the Waves.
Jack Straw.
Josh Cole and Friends.
The Sleepy Eye Johns.
Train River.
Lillian Sawyer.
The Hill Williams.
And the Filthy Skillets.
Wow, that's a lot of bluegrass.
Don't miss the Bluegrass Marathon on Saturday, February 15th.
From 9 to 6 on KBOO Portland.
Hello, we're Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There's no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org, all one word, or message us on Instagram at PacUnderground.
Studios of KPFA in Berkeley, California, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, Trump...